Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. We want to continue on our series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I said yesterday that we were pretty much coming to a close on this series, but I do feel there's another one or two left in the series. And of course, we always want to be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit, not according to what we think. But I want to continue on just a little bit more on the gift of discerning of spirits. That's one of the nine gifts of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then wrap it up with some of these others, highlight these others as well. And then we may complete another one to do a final. Because I want to talk a little bit about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that is actually a prerequisite to being able to walk in these gifts. Because without the baptism of the Holy Spirit's power, you know, it's not even possible to walk in these gifts. And I haven't mentioned that yet because I was saving that for the last. So before we get into this, as is my custom, I want to introduce my lovely, beautiful, awesome, wonderful woman of God as my wife, Miss Norca Karina.
It's a good thing that we have so many adjectives. That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Amor. You are an amazing man of God, and I'm so humbled, so grateful to the Lord that He has brought us together. So that's great. Well, it's amazing that when we started the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we knew it was going to be good. But honestly, I think I speak for myself and I hopefully for our listeners as well, that this has exceeded our expectation. God has been so faithful. The Holy Spirit has just been guiding the topics. And I'm going to say each word that is pronounced, I know that the Holy Spirit is the author of each one. So praise God for what has been shared so far. And I am so looking forward to listening to this one as well. And as always, we encourage our listeners to please make sure you go back and you listen to the first part, the first 14 parts, prior parts of this topic. It's an amazing, amazing theme. This is not just something that can entertain you. This is actually life-changing, so please, we encourage you. There is nothing more important than you can do with your life than to actually grow as a Christian and just surrender your whole life and heart to the Lord.
Amen, sweetheart. I appreciate that. You always add a lot of flavor and blessing to this podcast, to all the podcasts. And of course, as most people know here, that, you know, when we met and came together, we really knew that God had brought us together and being His will. And I'm more convinced every day that goes by. So as we said, we're going to continue on a little bit here further on discerning of spirits. And I want to pick up in Matthew chapter 9, and then we'll go to Mark chapter 5. And there's a couple of examples I want to use. Now, I know I used Matthew chapter 12. And Luke chapter 13 previously, but there was one I was looking for. Somehow I seemed to be an oversight to have missed this, because this is actually more convincing proof that when Jesus cast out a spirit, it was a spirit that was causing a condition in a man's life. It wasn't that the guy was possessed in terms of out of his mind or deranged, like what we see in Hollywood, you know, when they say demon possession, or when people think of the word demon possession, they think of full-blown, possessed, out of their mind, deranged, talking in other voices and doing supernatural feats. And, of course, you know, scaring and terrorizing people. But you know what? The reason why we talk about this is because we want to differentiate between that which Hollywood portrays as demonized versus what is common, you know, among people, that they are attacked and under the oppression of the devil, so that people can understand there are conditions, there are certain ailments and things that the devil can bring a person that will cause them to be under the influence, to be demonized, because it's caused the sickness, disease, or whatever it is, that disorder they're going through, is caused by an evil spirit. So therefore they are demonized, and the spirit needs to be dealt with. You know, because most people think, well, no, they're not demon-possessed. You know, they only see that in the movies. You know, those kind of people, or those are the people that sit in an insane asylum out of their mind. But yet, if you don't see the devil operating in these other areas, then you're not going to even understand that you need to deal with them, you know, on a level like this. Now, again, we want to make this disclaimer. We're not claiming that all sickness, all disease is caused, are all caused by evil spirits. Not all of them are. One condition can be caused by an evil spirit and another condition not. Or the same condition in one situation may be an evil spirit behind it, and another situation an evil spirit is not behind it at all. And this is why the gift of discerning of spirits is important, because it allows the person through that gift to know from God whether a spirit's involved in what they need to do in order to deal with it. So saying that to say this. So we go on to Matthew chapter 9. We find a perfect example here in starting at verse 32. And it says, as they went out, behold, they brought to him, to Jesus, a man who was mute, and it says demon possessed. But what it's really saying is demonized. A man who was mute and demonized. And when the demon was cast out, what happened?
He spoke.
Said the mute spoke.
Wow.
And the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Israel. As they went out, they brought to him one who was a man who was mute and demonized. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke. A direct correlation to the man's inability to speak being caused by an evil spirit. And likewise, someone can be affected by an evil spirit with blindness or any other condition. And I remember telling a story. A true story, because when I say story, that's what I'm usually talking about. I'm not talking about a fictional story.
Fairy tale.
Because sometimes people hear the word story and they think fictional.
Right.
Well, that's not what we mean here. And Brother Hagin was telling a case where a woman who was sent home to die with cancer, and she was a pastor's wife, and he and his wife, Brother Hagin and his wife, and I think another couple went to their home to pray for her, because like I said, she was sent home to die, hospice, you know, this is late stages of cancer. And so he said they prayed for 2 days. They took a mattress and put it on the living room floor and slept on the floor about 4 hours a night. For 2 nights they did this. He said it's never taken him this long to get an answer from God. You know, he said he hasn't always got the answer he wanted to hear, you know, that God was going to heal, but he always got an answer. So they were praying. And they went back to, he went back to the drawing board, you might say, to ask God, what's going on? What do I need to do here? And he said, basically, the Lord spoke to his heart that they need to change their praying. And they were praying in other tongues, praying in the spirit. But they were praying basically in the vein of, you know, we rebuke this sickness, this cancer, this disease, we bind the devil, all this, you know, general stuff that you do when you don't really know what the root cause is of the situation. So they went to change the prayer to pray in order to hear from God. And see, there's a big difference between praying when you come to pray for somebody. I come to lay hands on somebody and pray for them, and I curse the cancer or pray for God, you know, please heal this person. There's a big difference between that kind of praying versus praying to hear from heaven. What is God saying? Is there an instruction needed? Is there a piece of information that God needs to reveal to somebody of what to do, or word of wisdom of what to do? And so when they begin praying this way, seeking to hear from God, you know, the long story short is the Lord spoke to them to go stand at the head of the bed and cast the spirit of doubt and fear out of her. Now, you might say, what does doubt and fear got to do with the cancer she had? It was the cause of it.
Wow.
Now, how she got that doubt and fear that caused the cancer, I don't know. You know, that was never mentioned. But the fact is, he got a word of knowledge. Remember when I said about what a word of knowledge is? A word of knowledge is a piece of information, knowledge of something about a situation. Now, it's not an instruction. It's a word of knowledge. Now, the instruction was go to the head of the bed and cast the spirit of doubt and fear out of her. So the word of wisdom and word of knowledge was combined together in one. And so he did that. He said he saw a spirit the size of a man's hand, a black form, size of a man's hand, come up out of her chest. and fly out the window. And the other pastor that was with him said, I saw something fly by me and go out the window.
I get that.
And immediately she rose up out of the bed completely healed.
Praise God.
A little spirit causing the cancer.
Wow.
And she was made whole.
Thank God for the discernment.
And so, yeah, absolutely, sweetheart. And very key to this thing is the gifts of the Holy Spirit come into operation versus saying, well, we just curse cancer, the spirit of cancer. It wasn't the spirit of cancer. You can't curse a spirit of cancer when it's not a spirit. You can't, you know, take authority over something when you don't really know what it is. Some people say, well, you know, just we pray and we trust God. If he wants to heal, he'll heal. If it's his will, he's sovereign and he can heal if he wants to. Okay, that all sounds good and noble to believe that, but you know how many people are dying because they've prayed these prayers and left it in the hands of God and the person still died. And then they come back and say, well, you know, see, that's proof it wasn't always God's will to heal. Well, how many of those people believe in the gifts of the Spirit? How many actually operate and walk in them? Because I can tell you this, the numbers, percentage-wise, would increase drastically, enormously, if more Christians were walking in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, had these gifts in operation. More people would be getting healed and delivered. Because when you don't have the gifts, you don't have the tools available. It's just like a plumber going on a job and all he's got is a hammer and a pair of pliers. Or an auto mechanic going to fix a car and he only has a flat tip screwdriver and a pair of pliers. What's he going to do with that? He might fix a couple of things, but you know, most car problems are going to require more tools, more equipment. And this is the thing about the church, is they're not well equipped in all these things and not carrying these gifts as they need to be. So having said that, let's go on to our next example.
Okay. I wanted to mention when you said spirit of fear, immediately what came to my mind was, I'm sure you've probably heard of it, so many times people say, I know that I'm prone to get cancer because my family, you know, there's cancer. My mom, my grandma, my uncle, whatever it is, or they name other kinds of sicknesses. And there is just this this fear, but at the same time, it's like this acceptance. And we pray that, you know, as we grow in the Word and the Holy Spirit guides us and we mature, that we actually let go and change that way of thinking. Because when we are constantly or afraid that because of what happened to my grandmother, my mom, that's going to happen to me, that's not going to be helpful in terms of the things that that I can even resist. It's kind of like, instead of resisting anything that the enemy may want to bring my way, I'm already opening the door and kind of even telling him what I'm expecting from him. So I think it's really important. And, you know, and as you're sharing this and as the Holy Spirit is guiding us, we know that it's going to make such a drastic change in the listeners' lives as well, so that we can start applying these things, you know, and we don't have to try to take a whole bunch of steps at once. Starting with one step at a time, you know, one step at a time, I believe that we are going to see a great difference in our lives and also be able to bless others as well.
And that's true, so true, sweetheart. And now that you mention that further, yeah, I mean, we need to stay on this for a moment, you know, about the fear. You know, that woman was delivered from a spirit of doubt and fear that was causing the cancer. So, you know, maybe it was that fact that she had feared it come into her life because it was in the family.
Right.
You know, because sometimes people say, well, you know, mama had it and grandma had it and Aunt Susie had it. So, you know, it runs in the family. I'm going to get it too.
Right.
And so through the confession of their faith, you can say, what's that? How's that faith? Well, that's what they're believing. Because faith is your belief. It can be belief in the positive or faith in the belief in the negative.
That's true.
You know, so when the devil comes along, he's trying to sell his goods. You know, and oftentimes his access point is through a person's faith and what they believe. When he puts fear on them, you're going to get cancer. and they receive that fear very well may open a door for the cancer versus them getting cancer apart from that. Now, I'm not saying it always comes that way, but it can. And we know this is to be evident. But anyway, we might talk about that more in some other podcasts as well. But for us, the gift of discerning of spirits, it is imperative to be able to have this gift to operate. That way we know. Because if you come upon someone, you're going to pray for their healing. And you say, well, Lord, just heal them. And you might think, well, if there's an evil spirit present, then I ain't worried about it. God will just deliver them. If that's the case, then why would he need the gift of discerning spirits? Why would he need to give that gift to the body of Christ? Why would he need to give the gift of the word of knowledge to the body of Christ? If it was always his will to heal them without that, then there's no use for that gift. That gift is being given because that is a means by which he desires and purpose to use their deliverance or their healing is through that gift. And without us acknowledging that, without us not accepting those gifts and say, well, we don't believe in those things being for today, then we shut ourselves off from that avenue. Then we're going to expect God to bring healing through the avenue we choose. Well, we just believe if he wants to heal, he'll heal, like the gifts of healing. Well, God can heal because we believe in the gifts of healing. Okay, that's good and fine. But if he needs you to operate the gift of discerning of spirits or the word of knowledge, to acknowledge what kind of spirit's behind it, and that's the means by which he's going to deliver them, then that's the means he's going to work with. Jesus even said so himself. He said the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, the Son does in likewise manner. So therefore, Jesus did not operate at will to choose the method in which he wanted to heal. So when he put mud on a guy's eyes, that's because he saw the Father leading him to do that. When he cursed a fig tree, he saw the Father leading him to do that. And here's an example, you know, because when he says, I do what I see the Father do, what did he tell Nathaniel? He said before, what was it, who called him, Andrew, where it called him? He said, I saw you.
Right.
He saw him under the tree, right?
That's right.
He saw him sitting there contemplating. Right. And so he basically revealed to him through a word of knowledge of what he saw. Now, that was not a word of wisdom because it was not an instruction to him. It was a word of knowledge that I saw you under the fig tree. And then all of a sudden that sparked something in him to know that the Lord knew about his life, you know. And he could say the same thing to us. But see, what I'm saying is we need these gifts. And so it's the Lord who determines which one of these gifts he wants to use to heal somebody or deliver somebody. It's not us. I can't say, you know what, I don't want the word of knowledge. I don't believe in that. I don't want the gift of discerning spirits. I don't believe in that. So God, if you're going to heal, then you're going to have to do it this way. We don't tell him how he's going to do things.
No, we don't.
He operates the way he wants to, and we're to submit to and surrender and follow that. So I'm saying all that to say this, that if we're not open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit because we've been taught erroneously that the gifts died when the last apostle died, then we are shutting off God's avenue of many avenues of which he wants to heal and deliver people. And then we're going to conclude, well, this wasn't God's will, when we're just being ignorant and not lacking knowledge of God's will. These gifts are absolutely essential to the effectiveness of the church in this day and age that we live in. So moving on, let's go on to another example, because I want to show this one. And this is going to kind of probably, you know, give us some more insight into the importance of this gift. Mark chapter 5, and this is where Jesus was dealing with a demoniac. In Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 1, it says, then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when they had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. See, right away it says he has an unclean spirit. Is that just a general assessment about somebody you might think has demons? Does this say they have an unclean spirit? Or is that specifically a revelation that the Lord got that he shared with his disciples? That's some food for thought there. We'll move on and come back to that. It said, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains? Because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. See, so what do they do with people like that today? they put them in institutions, padded rooms, and straitjackets, because these people are dangerous to society. You know, I mean, if he can break chains, that's some supernatural strength.
That is.
And those people are a danger. And this is another reason why we need the gifts of discerning of spirits, or we need the gift of dunamis power to be able to cast out demons. Because a person like that, you're not going to get rid of those demons by medicating them, by putting them on all these psychotic drugs. Okay, we're going to help them be able to control their anger outbursts and all these things by, you know, these psychotic medications. Well, that might hinder them to some degree, but it doesn't get rid of a demon. I ain't yet seen one pill or one shot of anything that got rid of a demon spirit.
It doesn't.
And so when they don't deal with a demon spirit, then they're still left with a person who's demonized or demon-possessed, even though they may medicate them to oblivion until they're out of their mind and sleep all the time. They're still not dealing with that demon. Anyway, so moving on. It said here, and always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying out and cutting himself with stones. And this is another point I want to make. We need to guess because God wants to help people get free from stuff like this. He wants to alleviate them of the torment they're going through.
That is so true.
And it says, when he saw Jesus from far, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, talking about Jesus, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now, before I go any further here, I want to point out something here that, you know, because visions and dreams are still for today.
That's true.
That's another one of the things that some churches or Christians believe that have been done away with. Well, Jesus and God the Father, they don't speak through, you know, their Holy Spirit don't speak through dreams and visions anymore. That's for the, you know, days of the apostles. Well, no, it's still available today. And of course, we need to test them because we know they can come from erroneous sources. They come from this, the evil side. But that don't mean we throw it out, the baby out with the bathwater, simply because, you know, dreams can come from the devil or from our own imagination. They can come from God, and we need to be able to heed them. Okay, so what I'm saying here is this. One of the visions that Brother Hagin had also was he talked to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus mentioned this example to him.
Really?
He said, did you notice in Mark chapter 5, did you notice that I told the demon to come out, but he didn't? Some people say, what? No, Jesus, if he told a demon to come out, they always came out. Well, it says right here. It says here, we'll go back to verse 7 through 9. And he cried out with a loud voice, what I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. So when Jesus said, come out of the man, unclean spirit, this is a response. Verse 7. He says, and he cried out with a loud voice, what do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. Because, why? Because he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. So here is evidence that Jesus was attempting to cast the demon out, and his spirit did not leave. How do we know that? Because it said, then he, Jesus, asked him, what is your name? And he answered, my name is Legion, for we are many. Wow, that's something right there to a pause, is because Jesus said, come out of the man, unclean spirit, and it didn't. And he said to Brother Hagin in his vision, did you notice that I told the spirit to leave, but he didn't? He said, no, I never noticed that.
I never noticed it either.
And neither did I, right? And so then what's the result here? Well, what the Lord told him in that vision was this. He says, sometimes you not only need to have the discerning of spirits to know what kind of spirit it is, but sometimes you need to know the name or the number.
Mm.
And so this is why he asked him, what is your name?
Mm.
And he said, my name is Legion, for we are many. And then he knows here what it says next. And it says he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. Then verse 12, notice what it says. Then all the demons begged him. All the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. Now notice it says in verse 12, it says all the demons begged him. Brother Hagin said the Lord told him in that vision, he said, when the man said, my name is Legion, for we are many, he said this was the one demon, the main one behind it, had possessed him. He was the chief one in charge, and he was one speaking through his vocal cords. He said everybody could hear that.
Wow.
He says, but when he says all the demons begged him, he said no one else heard that but me because I was hearing in the spirit realm.
That is so interesting.
So discerning of spirits cannot also only be seeing in the spirit and seeing what kind of spirit it is and knowing what the kind of spirit is, but also hearing. And I'll even go as far as to say this, even touching. Because I've had, I don't know if many people are going to believe this, but I'm just going to tell you like it is. There was a case one time when I was asleep and I was laying on the floor, asleep on the carpet. And I was laying on my side and had my left arm pinned underneath my body, you know, from laying on my left side. And I was all of a sudden awakened and I felt something on my back like a monkey, but I knew it was a demon. And I'm like, oh, wow, right? And so immediately I began to rebuke this spirit in the name of Jesus. And before I can get out the name of Jesus, a hand went around my throat to stop me from talking. And I'm like, wow. And I instinctively reached up with my right hand, which is my free arm, to grab the hand that grabbed my around my throat. You know, I'm not thinking I'm in the spirit realm here and this is, you know, I'm just thinking, just acting, reacting instinctively. Right. Right. And I reached up to pull his hand off of my throat and another hand grabbed my hand right below my wrist on my forearm and pulled my hand down so I could not grab that arm to take it off my throat.
And this wasn't a dream.
This was not a dream. I was awake. This was a gift of discerning spirits coming in operation where there was contact. You say physical, there was contact being made. And some people say, well, I don't believe in all this stuff. But I'm telling you, it can happen. Now, of course, it happened by the Holy Spirit allowing it to happen. It isn't something that I would even try to seek to do because maybe the devils can accommodate you, you know, because this is why we're not to seek after certain things, you know, apart from the Lord's leading, because evil spirits can manifest themselves in ways that you don't want them to. So anyway, I got a revelation immediately. How powerful was the name of Jesus?
Wow, praise God.
Because I was in the process of getting ready to say it.
Praise God.
I commanded, and I couldn't talk. And I reached out to pull the hand off so I could say the name of Jesus. And the other hand pulled my hand down. So I couldn't. The light bulbs went off in my mind of how powerful that name of Jesus really was.
Praise God.
And so the gift of discerning spirits came into operation there that gave me some revelation that also got me delivered. So then I was in my mind, you know, it pulled my hand down. I couldn't do anything. So all I can do is my mind, Lord God, Lord Jesus, help me, help me, help me. And barely get it out, and then I got freedom, a deliverance from it. So that's one of the ways that the gift of discerning spirits can operate. And I want to finish something here in this passage here in Mark chapter 5, where Jesus was saying, you know, to come out of the man the unclean spirit. He said to him that sometimes you need to know the name or the number. Now, I want to make a disclaimer here. We don't go around looking to ask every demon their name or their number. This is something I think is erroneous that a lot of people are doing. You only see, you know, limited cases. This is the only case in the Bible, in the New Testament, where Jesus asked any demon to talk, where he had any conversation with them. He would basically say, be quiet and come out whenever they would try to talk.
Right.
You know, so I don't think it's wise for Christians to go around trying to interview demons.
Yeah. or learn about them.
You know, and you know, getting knowledge of how they operate is one thing, but trying to get information from them, they're going to lie. They're going to tell you all kinds of stuff. You know, some people say, well, we use the name of Jesus and command them to speak the truth. Okay, well, if the Holy Spirit's leading you to do that, that's one thing. But to make it a practice that we're going to go around interviewing demons and we're going to try to interrogate them and get information out of them about this whole kingdom of darkness and Satan's goals and plans and all things he's doing, mm-hmm. You know, I think that's not wise to be doing that because they're liars. And second of all, I think this whole fascination with entertaining demons and conversing with them and all this is completely unwise because we don't see this in Scripture. We see this in one case here with Jesus doing this, and we don't see Paul or Peter or James or John or any of those others doing that as well. So I'm just saying it's not wise. But I'm saying this, if we've attempted to cast a demon out and we've had the gift of discerning spirits, or you've had a word of knowledge and it hasn't come out, it may be necessary. We need to consider the possibility that we may need to ask his name or his number. Now, what would be the benefit of that? What would be the need for that? I think in this case, so that people understood that it wasn't just one spirit possessing this man. There were many spirits in this guy. And sometimes that can be the case with other people. We know the case with Mary Magdalene that says that Jesus cast out 7 demons from her.
Right.
Now, did he have a conversation with those 7 demons? I do not know. It doesn't mention anything about her deliverance that I know of, you know, and that process that he went through. But it's important to know that there could be more than one spirit there. And sometimes it's important to get to the root cause of what they're there for. Like with this woman who had cancer, who was going to die, a spirit of doubt and fear. It was one spirit causing doubt and fear. But what if it had been 3 spirits? Maybe they had to deal with a couple other spirits as well. So these are important things to know and learn. And there's a lot of resources out there of people writing books on these things. You know, John Eckhart is one that I'd recommend. And of course, what Derek Prince has written in his book on the gifts of the Spirit is also very enlightening because he covers all these gifts. So I think we're going to conclude this here because I was actually hoping to get to some more these other gifts, the gifts of healing. But, you know, there was a lot still to be said about this particular gift here. And I think, you know, we're probably going to wrap this one up. And in the next one, number 16, will be our next podcast in the series. We'll talk over an overview and highlight, you know, the things and answer the questions that you've asked. You know, because we've got some questions that we want to pose for the audience, as well as to answer those questions and talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the prerequisites to these gifts. So we'll conclude it there, and I'll turn over to my lovely wife to do her evangelistic invitation to the lost.
This has been so, so helpful. I've learned so much, and I truly encourage the listeners to please listen to this podcast again and again. And please don't be selfish. Share this with someone. You have no idea what this truth can do to someone who needs deliverance, who needs to be healed, and it's going to be a great blessing. And of course, the greatest truth, the greatest gift that you can possibly receive today is the gospel. The gospel is the fact that the Lord so loved the world, he loved you so much that he gave you Jesus Christ so that you can confess him as Lord and Savior. And then you can have eternal life. Yes, it's that personal, but that means that you have to admit that you are a sinner because you were born as a human being. That means that you were born with sin, but there is a solution to that. That's only one name, and that is Jesus Christ. He died on the cross so that you and I can be forgiven and we can be justified and then be able to be reconciled with God the Father. What a great gift. And that invitation is open to you, but don't sleep on it. Make that decision today.
Amen, sweetheart. And we'll conclude that for tonight. And we will say God bless you and have a good night. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
God bless and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.